the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll setting sun, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When that roll,
when the roll is called up yonder,
will you be there? Will you be there when that roll is called up yonder, my friends? I want to tell you, we've never lived in such a dangerous hour. We've never lived in such a dangerous hour. If you don't know that you're ready to go, I would to the Lord that today you would get ready to go. Now, we've got a great program. This is going to be exciting. Once saved, always saved. True or false? Once saved, always saved. True or false? We're going to let the Bible answer that question. We're going to let the Bible answer that question. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to call everybody you know and send out a share on Facebook. Everybody on Facebook, send out a share. And let's get as many people listening, because this is one doctrine that has been argued about and fussed about and fought over. I mean, even all the way back to John Wesley and John Calvin, those of his day. Oh, did they have one more rigmarole out of the differences in once saved, always saved, and the free will of man? Now, it really relates to the free will. The free will, one side, once saved, always saved, the other side. If you don't have a free will, then once you make a decision for Christ, you're stuck. He's going to save you whether you like it or not. Once you make a decision, you're really saved. You may want to backslide. You may want to go back to the world and sin, but he's going to save you anyway. That's the opposite of the free will. Well, we know that man does have a free will, whosoever will. Notice those words, whosoever will. And so we're going to talk about it. I've got so many scriptures. One person said to me, make sure you go to every scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Now, how in the world am I going to do that in an hour? I'm probably going to go 2 hours for this program. I'm probably going to be today and again next week and maybe 3 weeks. I don't know. Let's just see what the response is. Let's see how you relate and can you get involved and will you let your mind get loose from all that you've always believed and just come and let the Bible decide for you. We're first going to go to 2 Peter, the old Apostle Peter, the man who preached on the day of Pentecost, the man who cannot be treated any way but at the top of the sphere of leaders of the New Testament church. He was kind of a rough and tag old man, but he had it right. He knew God. He made mistakes, but he was a man. He could face his mistakes and do something about them. Well, welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. Pastor Chambers here. I even had a text from Pakistan. How can we get this program? Well, I hope you in Pakistan got it because I sent you he couldn't have doubted he had Facebook on to send me the question. So all he's got to do is watch Facebook. I'm right there right now in Pakistan or anywhere else that Facebook is. I'm there. And it's a joy, you know, because we're on the internet, always on the internet. If you can't get radio, go to your internet, www.paulcreek.org, www.paulcreek.org, paulcreek.org. If you don't even put the www, you'll still get us, paulcreek.org. Those are all little letters. And we are here to just bring people into the Bible. That's all we want to do, is bring people into the Bible. Now, before I go to 2 Peter, I want to take a moment and give you some reasons that many people need this doctrine of once saved, always saved. Now, it's very important. If you're born again, if you've been saved by the blood, and you know you're saved, you know you're his, you don't really need this doctrine. I mean, what could it give you but a false security to do what you want to do and to do things that you shouldn't do? I mean, what else could it do for a man who's born again? How would you need this doctrine? In what way would you need this doctrine? Well, let me tell you, one or several things that people need this doctrine for is because they're doubters. They never can overcome their doubting. And you know, doubting is a grievous sin, a grievous thing. And a lot of people are so caught up in doubting that they can never believe nothing, and so they got to have some concept on which they can latch themselves, even though they are a doubter. Let me tell you another reason. If you're living in sin, if you cannot overcome sin, if you're living in sin, you're always doing things you know are biblically wrong, then you need this false doctrine. You need this untrue doctrine, once saved, always saved. Well, I'm telling you, God don't want you to feel confident when you're in sin. He don't want you to be satisfied in living in sin. He don't want you to be happy when you're worldly and godless and not doing the right thing. He doesn't want you to feel some kind of security to do wrong. He don't want you to feel secure to live contrary to the Bible. God wants you to be convicted when you live contrary to the Bible. Well, if you believe in once saved, always saved, you may have a little conviction, but you throw it away, throw it out and go on doing things you shouldn't do. Now, you need to remember that. You really do. An undisciplined person who just cannot get a hold of nothing. They just always from here to there. Never like a city without a wall. Well, they need this false doctrine of once saved, always saved. It kind of gives them security in their condition. And then people who are in and out and up and down. They're in church 6 weeks and they're out 6 weeks. They're on drugs and they're on booze and they're doing immoral things. And then they come back to church. Well, the preacher says, well, you don't have to worry. You're saved anyway. Well, see, That's the people who need this doctrine of once saved, always saved. But I'm going to tell you again, and I want you to hear me. You've been born again, and you're a brand new person, and you're living a godly life, and you love the kingdom, you love the church. You just don't need it. That's all I can say for you. You just don't need it. Well, let's go to the Bible. The Bible is emphatic. The Bible is infallible. Jesus said it plain, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, in the book of 2 Peter, you have that? I hope you'll get your Bible and read it with me. It's breathtaking material. It really is. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. While they promise, these are people out there who promise them liberty, but these people who are promising you liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For if whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. If you overcome by doubt, it's going to bring you to bondage. If you overcome by sin, it's going to bring you to bondage. If you overcome by your fears and apprehensions, undisciplined living, it's going to bring you to bondage. And Peter's trying to say that to you. And it's very important how he says it. For if after they have escaped the pollution, if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if after you've been born again, you've been washed in the blood, you've escaped the corruptions of the world, you've escaped the doubting world, you've escaped the immoral world, if after that has happened, they are again entangled therein and overcome. They are again entangled and overcome. Listen now, and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. When you backslide, you're in worse shape than before you got saved. That's what he's saying. When you go back to the world and sin and worldly living and immorality, you are in worse condition. Your bondage is greater. Your sense of despair is greater. Your whole life is in a very precarious condition because you've gone back from what you experienced in Christ. Now, he made it plain you've been saved. He said, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they've escaped the corruption. They've escaped the pollution. He says this now. They've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They've been set free. They've been set at liberty from the world and all of its fears and sins and doubt. If after that happens, they are overcome. They are overcome and they return. They are entangled therein. Notice that word entangled. They're entangled therein and overcome. The end, latter end, is worse with them than the beginning. They're in worse shape than they were before they got saved. They're in worse condition than they were before they got saved. Now listen to this. For it had been better for them. It would have been better for them that they had not known the way of righteousness. It would have been better they never got saved. Better they'd never been born again. If after they've known the way of righteousness, they turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. When you turn from the way of the Lord, it would have been better that you had never been saved. And Peter said that as plain as it is possible to say anything. I mean plain. If after they've escaped, the latter end is worse with them than were the beginning. Now listen, for it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, it has happened unto that backslid person, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit. Uses the word vomit, V-O-M-I-T. Brother Chambers, when you use a word like that on radio, I'm just telling you what the Holy Ghost said. He used the word. If after they've escaped, they return to their way of sin, it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I mean, you can't get any plainer than that. Here is a picture of people that know the Lord, that meet him and love him, and they become part of him, and they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now they're entangled again. They're back in that same old muck and mire. They're back in that same fornication and lesbianism and drunkenness and lying and cussing and swearing, telling dirty jokes and living like a dog. They're back there, and it's happened to them according to the true proverb. They've returned to their own vomit and their own washing in the mire like a pig does. And he just makes it plain. It would have been better if you had never known the way of the Lord. Now, and friend, that one scripture throws the doctrine of once saved, always saved, as far as heaven is from the earth. It blows everything about it. It blows it. The Bible is a pure book. Don't you deny this holy book. Don't you deny what this Bible says. Don't you try to get around what the Holy Scripture has written plain and clear as a bell. You don't need it unless you're just a doubter or disobedient or you're half-hearted. You're in and out. You're doing things you know you ought not to do. You're disobeying the commandments of God. That's the only reason you'd need some doctrine that makes you saved in spite of your dirty doing and your godless living, in spite of your forsaken in the way of the Lord. Now, we'll come back to these, because we're going to open the lines in a moment. And I'm going to let you call me direct, right into my office, right into my room. When the phone rings, I will answer it. I will answer it. So if you're calling for material, you wait and do that Monday morning when the office is open at 8 o'clock. Same number. All you got to do, call anywhere on the face of the earth. 704-391-0588. We've got a toll-free number, but you don't need that anymore with the sales and what we've got in the technology world. Everybody's got a cell phone. Most people are getting rid of their landlines because they get so many sales. Now you can sell a call on the other. Well, I won't go to that. Let's go to Revelation 22, the last book in the Bible. And God settles it. Did you know that? And if any man shall take away from the words in the book of this prophecy, that's talking about the whole Bible, not just talking about the book of Revelation, the whole Bible. If any man shall take away, if you take away that scripture I just read in 2 Peter, you're in trouble. If you take away that scripture and you throw it to the wind and you deny it, you're in trouble. I said, you're in trouble. Because listen what he said. If they shall take away anything from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part, that person's part, out of the book of life. Now listen, if he can take your part out of the book of life, you're as lost as if you never knew and even heard the things of the Lord. Take your part out of the book of life. What is your part in the book of life? Your name is written there. That's your part in the book of life. Your name is written there. And out of the holy city, he'll take away your part out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this Bible, in this book. You know, when you deal with things like this and you go right to the heart of them, I'm taking you to the heart of them. I'm going to take you to Hebrews 6. I'm going to take you to Ezekiel 18. I'm going to take you to, there's so many scriptures. There's so many scriptures that there is no reason to doubt the great truth of the free will of man, the great truth of God's call for you to serve him and live for him and do his will and walk with him and live like he would call you to live. I beg of you, it's time to turn to God with all your heart. You know, I want to go right to Hebrews. See, We've listened now to Apostle Peter. We've listened to Jesus Christ, Revelation 22. Now we're going to go to the great Apostle Paul. The great Apostle Paul. I mean, you wouldn't doubt what Apostle Paul teaches you, would you? Would you dare doubt what the Holy Ghost gave him when the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrines, for corrections. I'm correcting those of you who preach that people who live like the devil because they were at some point or another true Christians, And now they live like the devil. They don't care a lick for church, and they don't care a lick for God or Christ, and nothing of the kingdom moves them, and they're lost. And then people tell them, no, 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 if you was ever saved, you're still saved. If you're ever saved, you're still saved. Well, it just isn't in the Bible. In fact, I'm gonna beg of you to call and give me one scripture that is clear as and lucid as what I'm reading for you. Make it clear now. Don't give me something and kind of twist it around. A preacher on television, I think it was this past Sunday a week ago, or maybe it was last Sunday, I'm not really sure, but someone was telling about it. He was talking about the wonderful, uncorruptible blood that we are saved by. He said, if you believe you can backslide, then you're saying that uncorruptible blood can be corrupted. We aren't talking about the blood. We're talking about us. Of course, the blood is uncorruptible, but you can corrupt. Well, let's listen to it. Let's listen. Let's let God talk to us. Let's let God talk to us. This is so. Take heed, brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now listen, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing, notice that word departing, from the living God. Don't you depart from this faith. Don't you depart from this way of Christian living. He says, but exalt one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Be careful that you not be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. For we are made partakers of Christ if, notice that word, if we hold fast, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You know, what in the world do people do with great scriptures like this when they get caught up in a doctrine that is very, very, very questionable at best? Very questionable at best. But even good common sense would tell you that it's unneeded. It's unnecessary unless you're a crippled person. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. And you don't have it put together. And you're in and out and up and down. Then you need something to latch on to so that you can think that you are right when you're not. Well, I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to tell you, if you're not living right, you're going to lose your soul. You better get right with God. You better get sanctified by the blood. You better get yourself in an altar somewhere and start living a good, clean life. And you'll have more peace. I've been saved 67 years in about 6 months. And I'm telling you, I've never wanted to go back. I've never wanted to give my life back to sin. I've never had any inclination to go back to the world. Never. Never. 67 and a half years. I was so truly born again that as a 16-year-old kid, I could go out behind the old farmhouse where I lived with my family, and I could find me a place behind a bush to pray, and every time the Lord would show up, and I'd sense His presence. I'd know He was real. Oh, I'll never forget it. Well, He says, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Oh, I mean, we're talking about something so overwhelming. For with whom was He grieved? And He talks about all of this. I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't turn from the right way and think you're going to be all right living like you please, because it's not going to be. It's not going to be. Take heed lest any man deceive you. Take heed lest any man deceive you. Now, those scriptures are so powerful, but I take you a little bit further. Let me take you then to Hebrews 6, okay? Are you ready? Hebrews 6, let me get it right here. All right, now you got to hear this, because this continues the theme he was just talking about. He says, for it is impossible for them who were once enlightened, once enlightened, and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Brother, if that man ain't saved, ain't nobody can get saved. For it is impossible for them who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come. Woo, what a relationship with God that person had. Beautiful. Tasted the Holy Ghost. Felt the mighty Spirit of God. They tasted the good world to come. It was almost like they had had a vision into the celestial city. If they shall fall away. If they shall fall away. Now, he's not talking about somebody just, you know, having a struggle, having to come back and repent. He isn't talking about somebody who even has a falling away, but they return. But somebody who goes away and turns their back on anything that has to do with God. He says, if they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Oh, man. These scriptures in the writings of Paul are just overwhelming. You need to read them. Hebrews 4, Hebrews 6. I mean, just read the whole book. It's a great book, and it's full of absolute proof of this wonderful salvation and how much it changes and takes over your life, and you don't want to go back. If you do go back, you're in trouble. You know, Paul don't play around with that kind of thing. Backsliding is serious business. The Bible said the way of a backslider is hard. A person said to me this week, once you've known God and you get away from it, it's hard to get back. I said, well, it's not hard to get back on God's side, but it's hard for the man who's done this kind of thing to bring himself back. The way of a transgressor is hard. The Bible said if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. If you put your hands to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. The Bible is so full of scripture that warns us of carelessness, that warns us of going back, that warns us of a backslid condition, that warns us of the sorrow and heartbreak that's in that world. I mean, it's the Bible's full of it. And you can't find a scripture, not one scripture, that says to you, come on, live in sin, you're still going to go to heaven. The Bible makes it plain. I mean, I love to read this book. I trust it. I cling to it. I live in it. For if, listen to this, for every, oh, that's not the scripture I was looking for. Let me get the right one here. So important. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Oh, how powerful such a scripture is. Now, let's go to Romans. Romans is one of those great books called the way of salvation. We say it's the Romans road. You ever heard that? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. How shall they that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I can read on there, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Well, what a wonderful life. I want to help you know this way of God so that you don't ever have to worry. Now, I've given you enough to just give you any kind of assurance you need that salvation is your will surrendered to God. He saves you because you give him your life. Whosoever will, let him come to Christ. Whosoever will, let him come. He that believeth on him shall be saved. I'm telling you, the salvation of the Lord is a beautiful thing, an exciting thing. Now, I want you on the line with me. The phones are right here beside me, and I think I can hear them, and I will answer. Now, don't call for request of material. You do that Monday morning. Right now, you call in to talk to me on the radio. So when I answer you, you will already be on the air, okay? So if you have a question or you have a scripture you want to read, which you want to prove a point of this eternal security. Now, I believe in eternal security, but I believe in biblical eternal security. If you will call, maybe do it Monday. If you will call, we'll send you a booklet on biblical eternal security. We'll give you the assurance you need to live this Christian life without believing something that is radically wrong, okay? I really want you to have a life with Christ that's set apart, that's pure, that is genuine, that is anointed. I want God to be real in your life. I really do. There's something so wonderful about God being real in your life. So grab your phone, and I am going to be listening, and I'm going to answer, and we're going to talk. Let me hear. I mean, there's a multitude of people out there listening. I mean, I don't question that. And you believe that, or at least you've been taught, and you may be on the fence. A lot of people are on the fence about this doctrine because it's become so radically destructive today. You could hardly find a person that won't tell you, I'm saved. And you say, but are you going to church? No, I'm not, but I'm saved. Are you living for Christ? No, not right now, but I'm saved. I've trusted him. And they're not even saved. They're not saved at all. They can't be saved. The Bible says that if you've been born again, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, if you've had that experience, I mean, how can you have anything more wonderful than that? I mean, it's just wonderful. It's what, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Please don't continue to believe that false thing. Please don't. I beg of you. I beg of you to take the Bible literal. I beg of you to get in this book and live in this book and enjoy the wonderful things of God in Christ, for they are indeed outstanding things. And they're wonderful. And I want you to know them. I want you to live in them. I want you to love them. Now, while I'm waiting for you to call, and I hope you will call, I do want to take you to 1 Corinthians. Listen to this now. 1 Corinthians. And I want to take you to something that Apostle Paul said. This is one of the most breathtaking things I think that Apostle Paul must have ever said. It really is overwhelming to me. Make sure I find the right place here where it is at. Oh, here we go. It is in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 27. Now, this is a clinch. This is a moment when we eliminate all possibility. Listen to Apostle Paul. This is the great Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, but I keep under my body. Notice that I keep under my body. Now, we got a church world today that don't want nobody to put any clinches on them. They want to live like they please. They want to do like they please. They want to serve when they get ready, like they get ready. And don't you go to tell them anything that might put them under some degree of responsibility. Don't try to tell them anything that'll make them know that you can't play around with this wonderful faith. They don't want to hear it. It is the most self-centered generation that I ever imagined could occur. It is a self-will culture that we live in. It is a rebellious culture that we live in. They don't want nobody telling them nothing. They don't want nobody telling them nothing that might put them under a sense of responsibility. I will decide what I'm responsible for. I will decide how I want to do things. I will decide this and that. And they just don't want. They don't want a man of God in the pulpit laying the word on them. They really don't. And I know I'm in a struggle today on the radio all over the world because people reject the old-fashioned way. They do. They reject it. But let me give you what Paul said. He said, but I keep under my body. I keep under my body. I keep my body under control. I discipline myself. I don't let me play around. I don't let me do careless things. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, listen to me. A young man wrote me this week who said he was a Pentecostal, gave me his name. I'm not going to tell you his name, but I've been praying for him because I could tell in his very article on my Facebook that something was wrong in his life, that he lacks a place of surrender. He lacks a place of dedication. And he was telling me, now, I don't believe in eternal security, but I want to make sure you don't put people under bondage. I'm here to put you under bondage. You say, what do you mean, Brother Chad? I'm here to put you under the Bible. That's bondage. You say it's bondage to live under the Bible. It is if you bullied it. It is if you're stubborn. It won't be if you get sanctified. When you get sanctified, you will love everything the Bible tells you, good or bad. When you are living for Christ, you just love him correcting you. When you're living for Christ, you love him disciplining you. The Bible speaks about us being disciplined. The Bible speaks about us being disciplined, being called out by God, being chosen by God, and then being corrected by God. I tell God all the time, God, contend with me. If there's anything wrong in here, I want to know it. I don't want to live in some unbelief, some carelessness. So Paul said, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection. What kind of bondage are you trying to put me under, Brother Chambers? Nothing but this. That's all. I just want you living by the Bible. I want you living in the Bible, by the Bible. If that's bondage, it's the sweetest bondage you ever heard of. It's the sweetest thing you can imagine. It's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Did you hear that? Proverbs 37. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Listen to Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in him he doth abide day and night. Now, what happens to this man who's under that kind of bondage? He lives in the Word. He loves them. He searches the Scripture. He brings himself into subjection to the Scripture. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Those first three verses of Psalms 1 are enough to make you scream out, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm going to live in the truth of the Bible. I'm going to obey the Scripture. I'm going to live under the authority of the book. And friend, it'll change your life. It'll make something so beautiful out of you, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And I hadn't finished this Scripture with Apostle Paul because it is so powerful. But I keep under my body, Paul said. And I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, that I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, I keep under my body, lest when I have preached to others, I should be a castaway. Here I am, 83 years old. I've served him 67 and a half years. 67, saved at 16 on the farm. My dad was a country man. I was raised on the farm. My dad was an alcoholic, committed suicide a little over a year later after I was wonderfully saved. And I think about all this past life and how God has brought me through these years. And I'm going to tell you, to go back into sin and to become a castaway, there is no way I could handle such a thing. Is it going to happen? I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. I do. I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. Lest that when I have preached to others, I should be a castaway. Do you know how many enemies that I have that would rejoice to the high heavens if something dark would happen to Joseph Chambers? Do you understand how the devil would hoot and howl? Do you understand the devil would like to see me fall and to have the privilege of hanging me like a trophy on the wall of hell? You know, if the devil could get any old man of God that's lived right for years and make a backslider out of him, make a failure out of him, He'd hang his carcass on the wall of hell and say, look at there, he preached for 60 years, and I got him, I beat him down until I got him. No, devil, don't take your hands off, devil, not by me. I'm not living by me, I'm living by grace. I'm living by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in this heart of mine. I'm living by, now I want to read this verse again, but I keep under my body, Paul talking. Now, you want to find it in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. It's easy to go find. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means what I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was concerned that he kept his body under discipline, lest by any means he should be a castaway. Now, how can I get stronger with you than that? I'm telling you, if you believe in eternal security and you're living out there like you please in sin, you've been lied to and you're under a stronghold from the devil. Are you hearing me? You're under a stronghold from the devil. I really don't understand how a person can be saved who believes that once you're saved, you're always saved regardless of how you live. I'm not sure very many of them are saved. Maybe a few of them are, but certainly not many, because that's such a dark and dangerous thing. And then there are many good people in all of these different realms who live for Christ. They're dedicated to the Lord. And though they believe this doctrine, they know themselves that they want to live right and they love Jesus. And they're not going to be lost. I'm not suggesting that. I know if you're saved by the blood and you're living by the blood and you live by this Bible, you're going to be saved in the end, even though some of your doctrines may be a little questionable, if you live right. But if you don't live right, I'm here to warn you, you better get right with God. Because you're about to have a rude awakening. A rude awakening. It's going to be rude when it comes to this world that lives by these things and are not really truly ready to meet God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I mean, the Bible talks about purity and holiness and godly living. Oh, the Bible talks about it over and over and over and over and over. It just like it never ends, the Bible talking about godly living. And then people want to say, well, I don't live godly, but I'm saved anyway. No, you are not saved anyway. And I'm going to tell you straight to your face, and you don't like it, I'm sorry. I love you. I love you too much to tell you wrong, okay? Now, I want to take you to Ezekiel. You know, a lot of people don't like to go to the Old Testament much. I do. I've learned that it's so full of good stuff until it's kind of overwhelming. Ezekiel is a good one. But every one of them talks about this and lets you know that you can't just do your own thing and still count God as a penny ante God that lets you by. Grace is grace. What is grace? Grace is liberty and freedom to change the way you live with God's grace and God's mercy and to become His. You treat grace like it's something cheap, like it's something light, like it's something that your responsibility don't even add up. What did James say? James said very plainly, he said, faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Did you know a lot of people don't want the book of James in their Bible? They don't want it in there because they know it don't allow for this kind of junk, this kind of bad stuff. Now, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 24. Ezekiel 18, 24. I want you to hear this. But when the righteous man, when the righteous, doesn't say man, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked men doeth, shall he live? Ask the question. Shall he live? All the righteousness that he hath done shall not be remembered in his trespasses that he has trespassed, and in his sins that he have sinned, in them shall he die. Woo! You talk about straight stuff. That's Ezekiel 18, 24. Verse 25 says, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Listen now, he's arguing with God. But yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? And not your way unequal. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for in his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Now you read that all day long. It completely throws once saved, always saved to the wind. Completely. I'm telling you, it throws it to the wind. And I'm hoping you'll hear me and get rid of this stuff that's got you being careless and lazy and lackadaisy about living a godly life, and get rid of the sin that has bound you, and live in purity and learn to trust Him. You can trust God. God is trustworthy in every degree, in every case. Well, I keep looking, trying to see if anybody's going to call and give me some debate. I want a little debate. I like it. I really do. I want to hear the scripture. I don't think you've got the courage to give me one verse in the Bible that makes you think once saved is always saved. One verse. Just give me one verse. I'm begging for a verse. But there's none. I know. I read the Bible. I know it from cover to cover. I know all the beauty of it. I love it from the deep of my very being. And I'm telling you, you won't call because you know that I can tear your thought apart. God will help me to show anybody out there that is a false doctrine. Once saved is not dependable. It is not biblical. It has no biblical validity to it. Careless living has no biblical validity to it. This is a straight and narrow way. The Bible said, take up your cross and follow me. The Bible says, if you do not take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. That's what He said. I didn't say it. He said it. And it's just right. If you want to follow Jesus, take up your cross and follow Him. The Bible says, deny yourself. You got to deny yourself. You got to deny that old unbelief and those old doubts and that careless living and that lazy kind of Christianity. And you got to live this life wholly abandoned to God. The Pentecostal church world has almost gone heart and soul into Calvinism. The Pentecostal church world. We got many of the Pentecostal preachers now. They love the big congregations and all the great crowds that will come when they will preach to them these doctrines of lazy Christianity. They do. They do it because it's a wealthy life that they are living. Salaries beyond measure. You can't talk about the big salaries that you get when you tell people what they want to hear. And they don't have to change the way they live. They just get religion and keep on doing as they please. If you get this kind of faith, it'll make you a godly man or woman. You'll want to live a clean and pure life. You'll want to live a life that's set apart. Now, I'm telling you, a Holy Ghost revival is already in the brooding. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is already brooding. I'll guarantee you, there's some of you listening to me that you've noticed lately how uncomfortable you are with your sins. How uncomfortable you are with the careless way you're living. Well, I'm telling you, that's the Holy Spirit. And I believe with everything sitting in me, right now, that the Holy Spirit is moving across Charlotte and other areas of the country where there's godly people praying. I had one of my men right here in this house all night last night. I came after 6 o'clock, nearly 7. I was late getting here, and he's still here, waiting for me to arrive. And he'd been here all night praying, waiting on God. We're believing for a sovereign move. And these kind of truths will take hold of human hearts. And when you get under conviction of sin, you're not going to be comfortable with any kind of sinful living. Are you hearing me? You're not going to be comfortable with any kind of sinful living when you get under the wonderful brooding and moving of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. Now, you heard this scripture. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them. He dies in his iniquities. For his iniquities that he hath done shall he die. Boy, can you be plainer? Old prophet Ezekiel laying it on the line, just like eliminate the word prophet, just like Joseph Chambers. I want you to know I'm bringing you these truths because I love you. I love my audience. I love my great radio family. I love you in Pakistan. I love you in Australia. I love you in northern Russia, southern California, wherever. I'm bringing you truth because I am believing for a sovereign Holy Ghost visitation. I am believing for a sovereign I'm telling you, we right now are under the brooding. Right now, there's a preparation. God's dealing with people all over this globe. There's saints of God praying like they've never prayed. There's preachers. Yeah, there are preachers. You know, I can name a few of them. I won't get into that. But I'm telling you, people are beginning to realize this nation, this church world has got to have a sovereign visitation. I love it. A prophet Isaiah said, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might come down at thy presence." Peter, I'm sorry, Psalmist David said, "Oh, that thou wouldest come down like rain on the mown grass. Come down like rain on the mown grass." Now, folks, listen to me. I'm preaching this truth and these kind of truths because I'm trying to get you ready for the moving of the Holy Ghost that's in the making. I'm trying to get you ready for God's sovereign penetration. I'm believing him to shake Charlotte to the foundation. We've got liberals in high places of position in our city that are doing great damage to the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. I understand there was 100,000 homosexuals in our city last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, marching in their filthy life. This is because they've been taught stuff like this, once saved, always saved, and other sin and religion doctrines. If once saved, always saved is right, then let's say there's a young lad that's raised in a good family. He goes to the altar and gets wonderfully saved, and everybody's thrilled with the way his faith grows and matures. And he grows and matures until he gets up in the teenage years, and then he gets hungry for the world, and he goes out into sin, gets caught up in the homosexual life, and becomes a homosexual or a lesbian if it's a woman, and they live in that. Now, if the doctrine of once saved, always saved is right, they're still saved. They're homosexual. They're laying up with men, doing this kind of thing that the Bible calls absolutely abomination. And they're still saved by this doctrine. In fact, there was an article not long ago, a few years now, on Rapture Ready, that a man actually said that and believed that. And there was so much noise raised by all of us who also are on Rapture Ready. We raised so much fuss, they took that down. They took that down. But you can't believe in eternal security. You can't believe in eternal unlimited security. I believe in eternal security. But mine is biblical. Biblical eternal security. I don't want to be any more secure than I am. The grace of God floods my heart. I love him. I'm not about to go back to that crazy, ungodly world. I belong to the Savior, to the Christ. He's the center of my life. And if he's the center of your life, you don't need nothing else. I tell you, it's real. But you do need to remember that if once saved, always saved is right, there's no limits to it. It could be the darkest, dirtiest, evil, most wicked, most vile kind of thing in the world that comes about in somebody's life once they were saved. Oh, you said they were never saved. Well, that's not what they believe, and that's not what they're told. And so under any circumstance, they're in a dark state of confusion. And it's not fair to put sinners in this state of confusion that they think they're okay when they're not. It's just not fair. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, preacher. You ought to be ashamed that you'd tell a sinner that, I know you're not living right now, but you were living right 30 years ago and you're still saved. Don't tell him that. What are you doing to him when you tell him that? That overwhelms me. I'm coming to you as a man of God. I'm here. I don't know how long, a few years, certainly. I'm only 83, and I'm happy, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and God's helping me, and I'm preaching good, wonderful sermons. And you watch I'm preaching in the morning from the book of Revelation, the great chapter 13. I'm sorry, the great chapter 3. Why did I say 13? The great chapter 3. I'm going to preach in the morning about the Laodicean church, And you know that church, the meaning of the word Laodicean is mob rule. The church ruled by flesh. The church ruled like a mob. See, it all fits. You don't want to miss that sermon. I hope you'll come. I really do. We had one saved last Sunday. I expect that man to be here testifying tomorrow of the wonderful grace of God in his life. We had other visitors, and you are welcome. We'd love to have you. 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock preaching, And then after sermon, we always have lunch over in the cafeteria with all of our visitors. You will be our guests in the morning if you come to church and be with us in the house of God. You'll be our guest afterwards. We'll feed you a lunch, a Sunday dinner that will be very, very satisfying. I promise you, very, very satisfying. Wonderful meals. My ladies are the best, and some men. We have two or three men that do some wonderful cooking. Wonderful cooking. I cook some myself and really enjoy it. Really enjoy it. Now, I know I'm going to have to go here just a minute. And if I had any calls, I never did see them. I was hoping you would call. I would love to have somebody to give me one scripture that proves once saved, always saved. One scripture that says it plain and simple with no questions asked, not some kind of, I got to interpret it for you. If you got to interpret it for me, you don't have a scripture. The scriptures I read don't need interpretation. I mean, they were so plain and simple, there's no way to doubt them. There's no way to doubt them. And if you've been doubting them, you're being misled. You're being misdirected. Get your life straightened out. Get sanctified. Get cleaned up. You won't need an excuse for careless living. Get rid of the worldly things that are possessing your life, and you won't need excuses for living. I promise you, you won't need them. God will be so real that you'll never doubt him. He'll be so real that you'll never doubt him. And the grace of God is the most beautiful thing that you'll ever experience. It is nothing like the grace of God. Now, let's end talking about this word grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of God will change anybody out there. It will enable any person listening to me to live a clean, pure life. The grace of God is abundantly supernatural, abundantly magnificent, abundantly sufficient, abundantly mighty. The grace of God will take an old rough sinner and wash him and change him, and all his sins will be. Did you know the only thing God don't know, the only thing that God don't know, is your sins that the blood of Jesus has washed away? God doesn't even know those blood sins, those sins the blood washed. God don't know. They're forgotten. They're cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you again. Never. That's the grace of God. When I talk about the grace of God, it is so beautiful. It is so breathtaking. It is so overwhelming that there are no words to describe how wonderful the grace of God is. It really is all you need. It's all you need. You don't need anything else, friend. You don't need anything else. By the grace of God, he'll save you. You don't need some false idea. You don't need some kind of crutch. You don't need some kind of security that's not biblical. You don't need it. You've got all you need in the word grace. The grace of God is sufficient. It has kept me 67 and a half years. And I was as radically lost and as full of sin. And I was such a little, you know, youngin. Sin was ruling my life. That's all I knew was sin. I didn't know the Bible, didn't know nothing about it. Didn't know nothing about godly living. I really didn't. But when Jesus came in and saved me, he turned me inside out, wrong side right. It's a marvel. It's a beauty. It's a wonderful thing. I want you to experience it. I want to pray. Father, I come to you for every friend I've got in the radio audience. I pray for those who are deeply ingrained in the false doctrine of being once saved, always saved. I pray for them. God, don't just change them. Show them why you're changing them. Show them, God, what the Bible says. Let them take the scripture about Apostle Paul, who kept under his body, lest after all these years of preaching, he should become a castaway. A castaway. What is a castaway? You can't get them in heaven, I guarantee you that. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Father, I believe you. Love my friends. Love them and save them and change them and make new creatures out of them, God. I want them to live for you. I want them to know you. Make those preachers that have been preaching this false stuff, make them men of such strength and godliness that they will preach the godly life, the holiness of God, that when God saves you, he makes a new creature out of you. That's what the Bible says. Father, I claim it. Oh, I love my friends, and I send out the waves of my love the best I know how, that their lives will be blessed and changed and made what you want them to be. in Jesus' name. Now listen, I want to hear from more of you. I thought I'd get a lot of people calling to tell me why I was wrong. And I'm amazed that nobody, and maybe they'll call this week, and I'll invite two or three of them to be my guest and be on for a little while, and we'll talk about it. I'd love to have two or three people who are into that doctrine just to be my guest next Saturday and listen to you and us debate it together. Us debate it together. And let me tell you how you're wrong, and you tell me how you think I'm wrong. That's a good possibility. That is a good possibility. Anybody out there would help me? Anybody like would take on that task of proving once saved, always saved, radically so? Is there anybody? It would be a good discussion. And if you don't mind, and you would take my coming after you with all I got, and you can come after me with all you got, you know, and we'll talk about it. Because I want to convince this church world that a Holy Ghost revival is coming. What you need is an old-fashioned experience with God on fire, burning with the zeal of the Holy Ghost, burning with the fire of His life, burning in the joy that He gives. I'm telling you, there is no life more beautiful than this life. And I do want to tell you about our school. We had our orientation last night here in the sanctuary. Huge crowd, even in the rain. Huge crowd, and so many mothers and dads. And I talked to them last night about the philosophy of Christian education. That the whole philosophy of Christian education versus secular education is the idea that the Bible is absolutely, absolutely authoritative scripture. See, the question today is relativism. That is, nothing is absolute. Nothing is right or wrong. Everything experiences decide and choose. No, we believe the Bible is infallible. It is the Word of God. It is the absolute truth. And we want you to know that absolute truth. We really do. Well, it's been a joy. We've had a great broadcast, I believe. I've enjoyed it. And if you have some questions when the program is over, I'll answer the phone myself. I don't mind at all. I'm going to stay here a little while doing some of the things that I have to do technically. And so I will answer the phones for the next, say, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, long as it rings, really. And if you need some help to understand and to come through this confusion of the doctrine, because it really has become very mighty in so many people's life, and they're caught up in it, and they can't believe nothing else. And I don't want you to live in that doctrine, in that unbelief. I want you to find God. I want you to know the transformed life of godly living. Hey, I love you. Jesus is coming. We love bringing this Bible truth to you. Great audience all over the globe. I love every one of you. Call your friends right now and get them to listen. It'll be archived on both internet and Facebook and here in the office. We'll have printed copies. We'll have CDs of this very program. I mean, all of that's what we're here to get to you and to get all over the world. We want the truths of God to go all over the world. We really do. God's Word is mighty. God's Word is mighty. We're going to share a song with you that you will love. I promise you, you will love this song. So here, stay right there. I love you.
When life is full of trouble, pain and fear, oh, the answer may seem simple, though everything else crumbles. One thing has remained through all the years. I still serve an amazing God. He's been with me every mile my weary feet have trod, and He still cares, and He still hears, and He's still mending broken hearts and drying tears. All this old world is about to change, but I'm glad I know the One who always stays the same, and my song will ever be. Amazing God, you're still amazing me. The God who parted waters still makes a way today. He's always brought me through those troubled seas. The one who fed 5,000, whose words could calm the tempest. He's my bread of life, and he's my peace. And I still serve an amazing God. He's been with me every mile, my weary feet have trod.
Would you stand, please?
He still cares, and he still hears, and he's still mending broken hearts and drying tears. And this old world is about to change, but I'm glad I know the one who always stays the same. And my song will ever be, amazing God, you're still amazing me.
Keep singing that beautiful.
The God who parted waters still makes a way today. He's always brought me through the troubled seas. He's the one who fed the thousands, whose words could calm the tempest. He's my bread of life, and he's my peace. And I still serve an amazing God. He's been with me every mile, my weary feet have trod. And he still cares, and he still hears, and he's still mending broken hearts and drying tears. And this old world is about to change, but I'm glad I know the one who always stays the same. And my song will ever be. Amazing God, you're still amazing me. And I still serve an amazing God.
Hallelujah.
He's been with me every mile, my weary feet have trod. And he still cares, and he still hears. And he's still mending broken hearts and drying tears. Oh, this old world is about to change, but I'm glad.